And welcome to The Talent Trade. I am Stephanie Moss, partner with Thinking Ahead Executive Search. Today, I am super excited to bring to The Talent Trade a guest. Today's guest has one of the most non-traditional backgrounds before joining the world of recruiting, which I will let him share with us. And then also from a topic perspective, he is going to share with us a little bit about the value of being yourself as soon as possible when you start out in executive search. So before I bring him on, a couple of fun little nuggets that you should know. Jonathan has been with our firm 7 years. One of my favorite stories about Jonathan is we went through training, and after, probably about 6 months, he came to me and said, "Hey, you know, I really promise I was paying attention. I was in tune to your training, but I just need some clarity about the timing behind this marketing plan that we had put together," because Jonathan, he was so incredibly teachable. He was executing our drip marketing plan incredibly well, with one exception. The exception that he missed was the timing. So this is a 7-step drip marketing plan that, when executed accordingly, should happen over about a 4-month period. Well, Jonathan, in his eagerness to get things rolling, he was doing it over the course of about 7 days. So he'd gotten a little feedback from the market that it was a smidge much. So he came back and said, "Hey, I don't think this is the response we're going for." Anyway, I really appreciate his humility in approaching and asking what he was doing wrong, but I also really the enthusiasm to which he wanted to get started and do things the right way speaks a lot to his character while at Thinking Ahead. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jonathan McIntosh. Welcome to The Talent Trade.
Thank you, Stephanie. Great to be here.
So I alluded to this interesting background that you had. I would love to hear just a little bit of your story, how you found your way to Thinking Ahead.
Yeah, I actually responded to, I remember now, an Indeed posting. I had been in professional ministry for 20 years. That's all I knew. I didn't know the world of sales at all. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a headhunter. I needed to make a midlife career change. And I'm living proof that you can do that even at 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. And a friend said, "Hey, have you ever considered becoming a headhunter?" And I didn't even know what that was. And I said, "People get paid to help make connections professionally for people?" She said, "Yes, I think you'd be good at it." I responded to an ad in Indeed for a nonprofit headhunter. And because I knew the world loosely of nonprofits, having worked in ministry for 20 years, I felt like it would be a good fit. And thankfully, Thinking Ahead felt like it would be a good fit too. So I'm very grateful to have, as I say, washed up on the kind shores of Thinking Ahead Executive Search.
Well, tell us a little bit about the niche that you serve now.
So we have a boutique team, under 10 recruiters at any point in time, that works solely with nonprofit organizations across the country. Health and Human Services, Environmental Conservation, the Performing Arts, Culture, Museums. We do it all, primarily director level and above, primarily C-suite roles. Now, I'm going to be speaking to areas of success I see across different niches at Thinking Ahead, but really what I know most well is the nonprofit industry.
Okay. So Jonathan is a partner with Thinking Ahead, consistently one of our top performers. What has been your best year to date, billings-wise?
2022, somewhere between that and cash in at $500,000, somewhere near there.
Okay. So for many of our listeners, the idea of being a consistent 350 to 550 annual revenue producer would create quite an incredible career and lifestyle. So we've got one live here. So Jonathan, again, the idea here is we could talk about a lot of the different things that have made you successful, but there's one in particular you brought to the table for our time today. And this was the idea of being yourself as quickly as possible. So put some legs under that table for us.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephanie. Our trainings at Thinking Ahead, I think, are excellent. And any new recruiter is going to come on to any new team, and they're going to have a book of scripts that we're always refining and specializing for each practice and niche. But I like to remind recruiters early on that they're not robotic script machines, that they're a human being on a phone or a Zoom call with another human being. And don't forget to be a human. And when I think about, and I don't know if you've seen this in your niche, but when I think about the nonprofit team, there's a lot of churn and a lot of turnover through new hires. And we always want everyone to make it, but not everyone makes it. Sometimes that's a work effort issue. Sometimes that's a phone aversion issue. But I've seen often people with the right work habits, they're making the number of dials every day that they should, but somehow they're not able to put it together. And I think they still, when it comes to making connections with people, whether that's a biz dev or marketing approach, or if that's a candidate recruiting approach, they still are very bound by their scripts and don't know how to find clothes that fit. They don't know how to find language that feels like them. They don't know how to stop and recognize, hey, I'm actually talking to another human. I'm actually listening to another human, and they're giving me wonderful things about their life that I should be curious about. And I'm just moving on to the next question here on my outline. So that's kind of the overall thing. If I could emphasize anything to new recruiters at Thinking Head, and I don't know how helpful this will be across the industry, it's, hey, stop and be a human being on the phone.
Any backdrop that led you to this kind of realization, or can you remember when this became your aha moment?
I think it started initially from, I have ADD, and a lot of the high performers at Thinking Head are very process driven. You are, Stephanie, a lot of members of my own team that I respect the hell out of. For me, though, I needed to find my own voice first and foremost, just so I wasn't bored all the time. Like, I'm literally leaving the same voicemail 30 times in one day. If that's my life, I want to kill myself. But if I can find my own way, if I can find my own voice, if I can make it unique, then it becomes fun. Then it becomes a game. So that was kind of one aha. Number two was after I'd had some success and hearing from people like, hey, this is not like the standard recruiting call that I get. Or, hey, that wasn't like the standard cold call that I get. This felt real, different, unique. Three, the third kind of aha was thinking about pattern interrupt. And we could talk about pattern interrupt in a minute. And then four, it was watching people on my team with great work habits not put it together and not make it work. And me going, they were doing all the right things the leadership was telling them to do. They went through the training, they had the scripts. Why weren't they able to make it work in our business? So it was those kind of four pieces that came together.
So for you, and again, you came from a background where, you know, public speaking, talking to folks, et cetera, that came pretty natural. So when you joined Thinking Ahead, you talk about, hey, I had to find my own voice, and yet you still talk about using scripts. So how did you mesh those worlds together? I think that's something that for a lot of our listeners, that is the challenge is, hey, I know I need to be scripted, but I also need to use my own language. I need to be professional, but I want people to see me as a human. Talk to me about your journey with that.
That is such a delicate balance. And that's one reason that this job requires such high emotional intelligence, EQ. And I think about the high performers in any team at Thinking Ahead, they're off the charts when it comes to emotional intelligence, because you're reading the person on the other end of the phone all the time, and you're making adjustments. As I think about scripts, to me, a script is a recipe. And if you've cooked or if you've made cocktails, you need to stick to the recipe as closely as possible until you start to learn the basics, until you really become proficient. For example, I had a friend once who was like, hey, I'm gonna start to make cocktails. I'm gonna buy some stuff and start to throw some stuff together. But he didn't know any of the classic recipes and why citrus works with a bitter and you need a sweetening agent and then you need a base spirit. He didn't know any of these classic combinations that bartenders for 150 years have been proving out. And so he was trying to break rules before he even knew the rules and why the rules worked. So yes, absolutely, to the new recruiter, go by the scripts that the people who have been successful in this business for 20 years are using. Learn why they work. Learn the basics. And that's the same thing with any cooking recipe. But then as you start to become proficient in the kitchen, you know why salt, fat, heat, and acid work together. And then you know how to adjust those dials. You can start to break the rules only after you learn why the rules work.
Super insightful. I have never heard it put that way. I love that. Scripts or recipes. That's a great example. Talk to us a little bit about this idea of high emotional intelligence. Is it something that you have and develop? Can you be taught it?
I think it's both. I think at the end of the day, it is a trait that not everybody has. I think everybody can get it better, but we all have it in different amounts. There are these amazingly charismatic people that you just meet. And when you run into them, like, I want you in my life. Your smile lights up whatever room that you're in. You make everyone feel like they are the most important person in the world. But you don't have to have that off the charts, this off the charts charisma, in order to make it work in search. There are plenty of people that are just, hey, I'm a good listener. I bring a lot of empathy to the table. I'm kind. And then I know my work. I work my routine. I work my daily calls. But yeah, I think you can. I think you, to answer your question more bluntly, I think you can. We all can get better at emotional intelligence. I think that the entry point to that is listening. I think when I'm distracted, when my mind is somewhere else, when I have another app pulled up and I'm not fully invested in the call, I miss opportunities to interject, to ask a clarifying question, to double click on something, to go, tell me more about that.
And again, I like your phraseology here. You said you miss opportunities.
I think the key, especially on the recruiting side, when we're talking about candidate recruiting calls, the key to being yourself, and sometimes you may need to go off script, is when the person you're talking to on the other end of the line, this certainly works for marketing and biz dev as well, gives you this wonderful, beautiful thing. They've entrusted you with something. They're opening up. They're divulging something, either about themselves or about their company. And it's asking of you a certain response to go, wait a second, that's really curious. Wait a second, what did you mean by that? Wait a second, can we circle back? Do you mind? You just said something very, very interesting to me. And when we're in this call with a person, it's this almost sacred space. And you're navigating these very interesting waters where you're talking to them about some of the most personal items in their lives, their interests, their passions, what they make on a yearly basis, what they think they should make, why they are undervalued in the market. Sometimes you're talking about racial dynamics. Sometimes you're talking about office culture dynamics. Sometimes you're working through the most difficult and painful things of their lives right now, this toxic thing that I have to deal with at work. And should I leave? Should I be looking for something else? But I've given this company or this organization my entire life, and now I've got a boss that doesn't see my value. And what should I do in that situation, Jonathan? It's not like what we do is super difficult. I'm not trying to overinflate the recruiter's role, but human beings are important and their stories are important. And do we treat them as such?
Okay. So with that, talk to me about this idea behind pattern interrupt.
The basics of pattern interrupt is, first of all, let's be honest. We are, at least the way we set up our practice at Thinking Ahead, we cold call people. And I believe in the cold call. I believe, one, my opinion is no one loves making cold calls. No one loves receiving a cold call. But I will tell you, some of my best clients, most of my best clients, and some really close friendships have come from a cold call. I believe in pushing through the fear, and there can be beauty on the other side. But as soon as someone picks up the phone and they did not let it roll to voicemail, whether it's a biz dev or recruiting call, the very first thing they're thinking when they hear Jonathan McIntosh, Thinking Ahead Executive Search, is how the hell can I get off this call as soon as possible? The only thing they're thinking is, gosh, this was not the number I thought it was, right? Oh, I was expecting a call from a donor, colleague, friend, board member, boss. I was not expecting a cold call today. And so you've got to realize they're like a scared horse, because they're just like, they're in their amygdala at that point in time. And all they're thinking is, how do I hang up and not seem like an a-hole right now? And you've got to come in and be like, shh, 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 shh. It's okay. It's going to be all right. We're going to get through this together. Let me just calm you down for 1 second. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not here to try to sell you something. I'm not really right now trying to even recruit you for anything. You can tell me to go pound sand anytime you want. Can I just tell you why I'm reaching out today? And generally people are like, okay, I can listen. You sound like a human being. You sound like you know that this is potentially awkward for me. Calm people down, bringing them out of their amygdala so they can pause long enough to actually hear what you're saying. Because all they want to do is go, nope, not for me. Nope, not at this time. Nope, we don't hire recruiters. Nope, I'm not looking, right? And so pattern interrupt is any way that you can kind of stop that, hey, I'm a recruiter, no thanks, click. That's the pattern. How do you interrupt?
Okay, so show us how you do it. What do you say?
I had someone that we're potentially recruiting to our team at the nonprofit shadow me the other day, and I was expecting to leave a voicemail because I just wanted to show like, hey, it's just easy. You just leave these voicemails. Let me show you. And the person picked up the phone, and it was a surprise to me. It was not a call I was planning on making that day. I was making it just to literally show someone in an interview setting how we do it. And I found myself saying, Jonathan McIntosh, thinking head executive search. I could hear, you know, you can sense these things. Like you can feel someone tensing up over the phone. And I said, look, I'm not trying to sell you anything. In fact, I'm going to tell you why I'm calling if that's okay. And you can tell me afterwards to go pound sand if you like. Is that okay? And she laughed. She said, yeah. I said, I'm a headhunter. This is a cold. And so I'll say that, like, I'm a headhunter. This is a cold call. No one likes to get these, but here we are. But my point is, don't take my phraseology. Experiment with what sounds good coming out of your mouth. Once again, be yourself on the phone. I'm not going to apologize for making a cold call. In fact, sometimes I will say, I'm sorry, I'm just now reaching out to you. Man, we've been in the same circles for 5 years and I've never called you. I'm sorry. I don't apologize for it's taken me this long to call you. But however, in your voicemail, feel free to be just a little bit weird. I'm not saying be completely off the charts, goofy, and unprofessional. But at the same time, you're talking to a human being. Maybe they're at home wearing something professional up top in their underwear, and they're about to jump to a Zoom call. You can acknowledge just kind of the craziness that just is all of this. Like everyone is just playing pretend at anything they do. And just kind of take the mask off for a second and let some of your humanness come through. I think that's attractive. I think that's what people respond to.
Absolutely. What do you think causes people hesitation from being themselves, getting to that point where they'll risk being goofy or a little weird or going off script a smidge? What's the mental hurdle there for folks?
That's a fantastic question. I think there's a handful of mental hurdles, at least for me. One, especially when I'm calling someone high up, like a CEO of an organization, a big nonprofit that I really respect. I want to appear buttoned up professional. I want them to respect me. A lot of that is I'm on the ladder in my head. And the ladder is a phrase I got from some therapists one time. It's when you are in constant comparison and ranking yourself and where you think you stand either above or below others based on wealth, social status. And so I can put myself mentally on the ladder below these CEOs. And so I become either totally obsequious, meaning like whatever you want, I become a yes man, or they become almost too cold. You do have to read people. That high EQ thing is you've got to be a bit of a social chameleon. So when I'm calling into the New York market, I know that most of those people that I'm reaching out to talk fast, don't have time for BS, and they're moving really quickly. And my syrupy Southern charm can be lost on them. So I can boom, get right down to business when necessary. And you're trying to like, hey, how much tolerance can I even tell this person has room for? So yeah, we want to look good. We want to look professional. We want to look buttoned up. Also, when you're newer at this, you want to do it right. I mean, I go through most of my life as far as work, parenting, and marriage. Am I doing it right? Am I failing or not? How do I even know? And so the scripts and the familiarity feels good because it provides us with a sense like, hey, I made my calls and I did it on script. And I can check the box at the end of the day, and that's fine. But I think if you want to grow your billings and you really want to make a memorable impression in the markets, it's not did I make my calls and did I follow the script? It's did I make a meaningful connection today?
Correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of what I'm hearing is, hey, in the beginning, get your recipe. And thinking ahead, we give it to you. Hey, this is what it's going to take from a work perspective to be successful. Put the work in, and then as you do the work, and start applying these things. Again, the best chefs in the world, they all have something unique. They make the same dish. What makes their dish outstanding isn't that it tasted exactly like everybody else's. It's that they put their twist on it. If I hear you right, that's where you go from connection to meaningful connection.
Yes, that's it, Stephanie. But that does take time. You can be patient with yourself, and it takes lots of repetition to go back to our volume piece. You know, you've heard the story many times about the photography students. One group of students had to go out and by the end of the semester, produce 500 photographs. The others only had to produce one really high quality photograph. But the students who worried about volume more than quality, by the last set of photographs they were making, their quality was higher. Your quality only gets better as you practice, as you get into it. That's why what we say around here is, and I remind myself of this because I make bad biz dev and marketing calls all the time. They're awkward. They can't, I try to not make them awkward intentionally, but it, I mean, I remember the first marketing call I made to someone in the nonprofit space in a performing arts organization that I wanted to work with. I was nervously reading back my script and I said, and give me a call at, and I read the number aloud. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. That's your number that I just quoted back to you. I am a professional, I promise. I will tell you, later, I ended up placing that person at another organization and have worked with them since. So it wasn't the end of the world. My point is, a good marketing call is one that is made. Good marketing call is one that's made. It can't be perfect. And over time, with volume, you get better and you learn to become yourself.
Absolutely. Anything else from your perspective, tips, tricks of the trade, et cetera, that help you kind of push past the fear of not sounding professional, the concern of, again, I love the latter reference. Anything else that you would recommend to our listeners just to help bridge that gap from, you know, hey, we know you have these concerns, but just get there anyway, or counsel on developing their emotional intelligence?
Well, and once again, a lot of fantastic recruiters that really do follow their scripts really closely. And a lot of them bill a lot more than me. And they're wonderful. I would ask them, when's the last time you freshened up your scripts? Because for me, it's like, hey, or do the words coming out of my mouth, for me, they got to feel authentic. One of the best things I heard about sales early on is it's this transference of energy. That's what's happening. It's more than the words being said. It's the feeling and the emotional freight and weight of that, the energy that's coming through. That's why we are phone people more than email people, because you can have those delicate interchanges of energy on the phone so much better than you can via email. It's got to feel authentic in order for me to feel like I'm actually doing something of good and leaving voicemails or making calls that matter. It's got to feel authentic. So when's the last time you freshened up your scripts? You know, one thing right now that we're doing, our team, basically, we set a dream target list for marketing. Our fantastic assistant put together basically a vision board for each of us with these target organizations. And I've been leaving voicemails telling people at those organizations, like, hey, I just want you to know, I may not be on your dream list to work with, but you're on my dream list to work with. And, you know, that may not mean anything to you or not, but I'm going to keep calling you because I really do want us to work together at some point in time.
That is awesome. This has been incredibly insightful and helpful. And I think whether you're just starting out or if you've been in it for a while, again, whether your next level is just learning the practice or learning to get to the next level, I think this is some key information. So thank you so much for your willingness to share and bring us along on this idea of finding your way to being yourself and making meaningful connections.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. What an honor. I really am grateful to be here.